The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
All right, welcome back. This is hour number two, which is effectively halftime of our show, right? We had 1 hour first, and now we're entering the second hour, which makes it officially halftime.
Oh, you are not.
Well, it...
Oh, I can hear it coming.
I got some advice from Vontae Davis, and he said the best time to quit is at the halftime mark.
So you're leaving.
I'm out!
Jose, we're on.
I'm just taking my helmet off, I'm changing the locker room, and I'm walking out just like Vontae Davis. He led the way.
Wait, just the show or the company completely?
Well, for the moment, the show.
Because okay. Our paychecks are in limbo now.
Don't worry, the boss will still pay. He's just going to quit the show. I've had enough. I mean, it's over. You're okay with this, aren't you? No. Listen.
She doesn't seem too bothered.
You know, she seemed quite calm.
I think I'm more concerned than Carla.
She's thinking more airtime. How about you, Jose?
That's not too bad.
Yeah, she'll get a word in. She's actually thinking, I can probably go far in this show with Jose because Jose and I have real upside. You guys are going national
all over the place.
Big deals, no doubt. Listen, that was an extraordinary walkout, though. I mean, did anybody see that one coming? Vontae Davis said enough is enough, walked out. The Bills defensive back did not return to form in the second half.
Is it that hard to be a Bill?
Well, you have no idea. You've never walked in his shoes.
I've never
walked in his
shoes.
To play for the Buffalo Bills, it's almost certain doom. Why not walk out?
I mean, he had a really good first half, too. I mean, I love watching him.
Well, there was nothing wrong about his play on the field. He seemed physically fit, able, capable, yet the Bills were going down again.
You know, I thought the locker room reaction by his teammates, which they felt angry, they felt disrespected, they were shocked. It was not good. And you know what I liken it to? What Vontae Davis did to the Bills, not knowingly, I don't think it was on purpose. It was just whatever's going on with him personally, which I don't think we know the full story, is exactly what I saw Bill Belichick do to his team on Super Bowl Sunday.
Ooh, with Malcolm Butler.
With Malcolm Butler.
He sort of walked him out.
Came out of nowhere. The team didn't know. And how did that work for them?
Interesting tidbit from the Gloss.
They're not holding a Lombardi trophy. That's all I'm saying.
All right, we'll be right back. This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
We're back on Monday night football night. It's the Bears leading the Seahawks 7-0 with 8:54 to play in the second quarter. Okay, it was interesting. We've got all these rookie coaches with first year with their team.
Seven rookie coaches.
Well, it's a good group, or at least it's a large group. I mean, seven is a pretty big proportion to a league of 30 teams. Mm-hmm. But last week,
all of them lost. They were 0 for 7. This week we got a few wins, but this is a checkered group right now. All of them seem to struggle in some way.
Well, you know, and the only time it's been an offer with rookie coaches in week one was in 2001, 17 years ago.
That's amazing.
So these coaches had to work hard to stink it up that badly.
And some of these coaches came with great pedigree or had long histories. I mean, we're counting John Gruden on that list. But, of course, he has a pedigree. He's a Super Bowl champion. And then you had Pratt Shurmur. I mean, Mike Vrabel, of course, he's of the vaunted Bill Belichick.
Patricia. How many championships did he help win with as the DC in New England?
So they all lost week one. Yesterday, a few of them had wins. But Matt Patricia, let's start with him. He really took heat week one. There were whispers that the team was turning against him. They didn't have support in the locker room. They thought he was trying to mimic Bill Belichick. He was too heavy-handed. And then they lost week one. Yesterday, they lost to San Francisco. Lions are 0-2.
They're 0-2, but they could have won that game last night.
Yep.
You know, if not for the penalty that happened late in the game on Garoppolo's, you know, interception. It's early. It is early. And, you know, hopefully that was a wake-up call against the Jets. It was a horrific display on Monday Night Football. It was actually laughable to allow a rookie quarterback who is 21 years old to hang 48 points on Matt Stafford in the Detroit Lions. That's embarrassing. So you know what? He got that slap early, and they looked a lot better yesterday. I mean, it was against San Francisco, and they almost pulled it out, but it wasn't as dire as I saw last week against the Jets.
All right, fair enough. Patricia, week two better than week one.
You think he stays?
Well, yeah, I'm not going to overreact and say he's going to lose his job yet, but it's a rough start. It really is for a guy who seemingly came to a team that has some pieces. The cupboard is not bare in Detroit.
It's not.
All right, let's go. I mean, Pat Shurmur, he picked up he's 0-2 with the Giants, and we talked about that trouble. Dak Prescott accepted the challenge, and the Cowboys were able to really put pressure on Eli Manning and shut down that Giant offense.
Pat Shurmur has got his hands full.
He really does.
And I think it's really hard. How can you build around a quarterback who's probably at the end of his playing career, a meaningful playing career? And I don't see any successors coming up within their system right now. That's tough to go on.
Chicago has Matt Nagy, rookie coach, tonight facing off against Seattle, and they're up 7-0. So Nagy on a way to maybe getting his first win as a coach at the Bears.
And I think he's going to do great things for this franchise. I think that's a great hire. It's going to take time. Khalil Mack was a great pickup. Chicago's on its way. You know, it's only week two, but they didn't have a real tough competition week one and lost. So they still have a ways to go, but they are moving in the right direction.
And Frank Reich stepped into Indianapolis, and the great news for him is he picks up a healthy Andrew Luck.
And a great win over Washington. Yep. He was one of the two rookie coaches that won this past weekend.
All right, let's talk about the other rookie coach who won, Mike Vrabel.
You keep bringing it up? It's killing me.
How did that happen? Tennessee with Blaine Gabbert defeating the Houston Texans.
Tennessee.
It's not my job to do that.
Well, there's Bill O'Brien. If you don't recognize that voice.
Jose just explained why that happened and how that happened.
It's not my job to do that.
There. See?
Guess what, B.O.B.? You are the HC. It is your job. Everything falls under you.
Well, as we sit here in Houston, there's a widespread view that Bill O'Brien was outcoached, that Mike Vrabel
and
just
outplayed.
Well, yeah. I mean, look at, there were some things that happened on that field. The punt play where the gunner was not covered up. And the Titans were able to convert that punt into a touchdown. I mean, that should have been Texans' ball, and it ended up being 7 points. That's almost inexcusable. That's not anything that could ever happen.
It's not my job to do that.
And therein lies the problem.
So you want it to be his job.
It needs to be his job. And guess what? If it's not his job, he better get someone who wants that to be their job. Because before the game on Saturday, when I was doing some prep for the show, I wrote out, does Bill O'Brien need to delegate game management, time management to somebody else? Little did I know we were going to have, you know, more issues with that on Sunday.
Right.
It's a constant. It happened in New England this year. It happened in New England last year. Happened in Seattle last year. Happened yesterday. It's a constant. It can't be, it's on me. It can't be, I've got to do better as a coach. Stop saying it. Do it.
It's not my job to do that.
Right. But there were some pieces. Fuller had a good game. We saw things out of Fuller.
Game, right.
He's got the deep speed. They were able to get him deep. That's exciting. DeAndre Hopkins is Hopkins. I mean, he's exceptional catching the ball. Watson can throw a great pass. There are some pieces there. Now, the defense hasn't really shown up very well, at least not to the level we came into the season envisioning. We had all these pieces. I mean, Clowney was on the sidelines causing trouble over there.
Getting penalties. That you know, was a game-winning field goal for right. Tennessee. I mean, really, to me, from the top down, it's discipline. It's discipline on special teams. It's discipline, I didn't think I'd have to say it, on the sidelines, Jadeveon. Discipline, and it's discipline with the penalties yesterday, clipping, numerous false starts, holding. I mean, it just is kind of endless. And I think what I've seen with the New England game and the Tennessee game is that the Texans start out slow. They start out almost asleep, and by the second half, they're looking a lot better. I don't like the game management in the second half, but they're looking better and they're looking sharper. They can't allow themselves to get in a hole and have to play from behind. They're not ready for that consistently, week after week. So things have to change, and that to me is a coaching issue from the top down.
All right, one coach who looked very impressive yesterday was the Jaguars coach, Doug Marrone. I mean, that guy had Blake Bortles looking like he was Tom Brady.
Well, he I don't know what Blake Bortles had for breakfast, but that is also the tale of two quarterbacks. I mean, I can't trust the consistency of Blake Bortles.
Right.
Do you?
No. I mean, I'm worried he'll go the other way. But I will tell you, yesterday, it was a masterful game plan.
It was beautiful.
They threw some easy crossing routes. There was a lot of visibility of the field. Bortles had time. He looked poised. He made some great passes. It really was an impressive showing for the Jaguars. I mean, anytime you beat the Patriots, you've got to feel great about it.
And hopefully, you know, Jaguars had an axe to grind. I mean, New England knocked them out of... you know, the AFC playoffs. So, hey, if they can, Blake Bortles doesn't get the respect that he thinks probably he deserves. Play with a chip on your shoulder. Play with an axe to grind. It looked good on you yesterday. Keep it up.
In that championship game, the narrative was that Marrone went too conservative. He was afraid to really let Bortles do anything, and that conservatism lost the game. Not so yesterday. They kept their foot on the pedal, and it was great play calling by Marrone. He made Bortles look good. So that's a formula.
It is a formula, but it's also week two versus an AFC championship game.
Noted.
And so I think that says to me, can you trust Blake Bortles in the big moments? You can trust him week two in a regular season game because you've got 14 more games ahead of you. But, you know, it just came down to I don't think they could trust him. And you'd had a season to see the up and down of Blake Bortles, which I feel the same about Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh.
Fair enough. All right, when we come back, we're going to get to speak to the great Lance Zierlein, and we're going to ask him, should the Texans have given Bill O'Brien a 5-year contract this past offseason? When we return, it'll be Lance Zierlein. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
At O'Reilly Auto Parts, you'll get better parts, better prices every day. They have the parts you need to get the job done right. Stores are stocked with high-quality parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices. The store's well-trained professionals are standing by to help. It's O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, joining us now on SB Nation Radio is the great one, Lance Zierlein. Lance, welcome into the show.
What a billboard. That's pro radio right there.
How about that? Listen, just being a pro radio, I mean, it's been too long since you've been on with the Boss and the Gloss. You've been holding out on us.
Last time we were talking, we were talking about Sam Darnold. We were talking about where he might go in the draft, and we were talking about college football, and here we are. We're talking college football and pro football, and Sam Darnold made it to the NFL. And I don't know. New storylines abound every single year. It's fun.
New storylines right now every single day. And we're so glad the man, the myth, the legend is with us tonight. Lance, we've missed you.
Yeah, it's good to be back. It's good to be here. So I'm wondering where your loyalties are lying here television-wise, because I know you're a big A's fan and they're having a nice year. Mm-hmm. And Raiders are not. I don't know if you were excited about the return of Gruden and if you're still that excited about it. And, you know, USC got beat by Texas. I mean, kind of a rough weekend for you.
Yeah, she's wearing all black. She's grieving this weekend.
I am the princess of darkness, is a little princess of sadness. But, you know, I was encouraged. I was, you know, that Rams game was the tale of two halves. It killed me. They were so fabulous in the first half, and then I don't know what fell off. To get booed out of the black hole is never good. But was encouraged by the performance in Denver yesterday. So I felt better about that. I do love Gruden. I think he's the man. What about you?
You know, I just wonder if he still if his brand of football is still going to work right now. Because so many changes have happened with college football having such an influence on the pro game now. That, you know, sometimes you wonder about coaches who last time he coached, there were not all these college influences that were, you know, that have made their way into the game. And I just wonder how John Gruden is going to handle the changes, and if he can stay with it. I think John Gruden, I've always thought he's a pretty good coach, but there is a distinct difference between being a talent evaluator, a personnel man, and a coach. And I think John Gruden has always wanted to buy the groceries. You know, he's always wanted to shop for the groceries, buy the groceries, and then cook the meal. But some people just aren't made for that. And I think very few coaches should be given the personnel input that I think John Gruden is probably having over there in Oakland right now. I just get the sense that Reggie McKenzie does not fully have control over that team like he once did. I mean, you don't give Gruden the contract that you gave him without Gruden being able to lean on team ownership and say, I want a lot of say here. And so I don't know that he is qualified to be, you know, trading Khalil Mack. I mean, Mack's having another dominant game right now on Monday Night Football with the Bears. And you can get two first-rounders, and it sounds good on paper, but who are those first-rounders? Who do they become? Because once you actually put names on them, you start looking at, you know, Raiders' first-round picks over the last few years, you start putting names on them, and all of a sudden you might say, whoa, that doesn't equal Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack is a dominant, dominant pass rusher, and teams draft trying to find great quarterbacks and great pass rushers. The Raiders had one of those two, a great pass rusher, and they let him go. I just thought it was surprising. And it sounds like it was a Gruden move, and that's why I just don't think he should be involved in that kind of stuff.
Well, that's what does worry me, is I think I wonder who Mark Davis, who's ultimately going to bless the decision, who's he listening, who's he siding with? Because I don't totally get that McKenzie and Gruden are on the same page together, and I have a feeling that Mark Davis is siding towards Gruden because of the large contract. And don't you draft someone like a Khalil Mack with the hopes of being able to pay them? I mean, you want them to be that productive to want the big fat contract.
I think everyone loves the fact that you get a great player on their first contract and they're not expensive, but at some point you got to pay. You know, you got to pay for the production and how talented players are. That's the way it works. And so when it comes time to pay those guys, you got to pay those guys, especially if they're guys like Khalil Mack who have not been problems off the field, have been, you know, relatively healthy, have been productive. I mean, I look at here in Houston at Kadarius Clowney, who was in the same draft, and you look at him, and then you look at Aaron Donald, who just got paid by the Raiders, Khalil Mack, who just got paid by the Bears after being traded from the Raiders. Well, Kadarius Clowney is he's not been healthy like those guys. He's not been as productive as those guys. And yet, and the Texans did not pay him early. So I think they wanted to see what he did this year before they make a determination. But in the same draft where the Texans had the first pick, you know, they chose Clowney, who you just don't always know if he's going to be available to you in practice and in games and where the health is going to be, what his, you know, how's he going to perform. With Mack and Darnold in that exact same draft, you never have had any questions about that. And, you know, it's tough. When you get those guys, that's why you usually hang on to them. And if you're the Texans and you have a guy like Kadarius Clowney, it might be time that they, you know, shut it down with him after the year's over and let him walk, or, you know, or just franchise him for a year and saying, okay, well, let's see if you can earn that big contract this year.
We're talking to Lance Zierlein. He's a writer for NFL.com, also a show host on ESPN 97.5 in Houston. So, Lance, let's talk about the Texans. Clowney did not show well yesterday. He was on the sideline and incurred a penalty. But beyond that,
he can taunt with the best of them.
Yeah, well, he can talk. Yeah. But beyond that, what were your observations, and how about Bill O'Brien and his coaching job yesterday versus Mike Vrabel?
Well, I mean, Mike Vrabel came in and clearly had a plan of how to attack Deshaun Watson. They had a plan with how to attack the punt if they saw a certain look. So they were well prepared. The Texans, on the other hand, could not get Deshaun into a rhythm against the blitz. When he was under pressure, he was just 3 of 9, and he was under pressure 40% of his snaps, according to next-gen stats. So he was under pressure and duress a great deal. When he was not effective at all. And really, he didn't get going until the Titans stopped blitzing, which was in the second half. But still, you score 17 points against the Titans. That's just not good enough. And Bill O'Brien's, you know, the special teams coach, the decision to have that little fake block punt thing that they were trying to do when they showed it last week, well, that allowed the Titans to prepare for it. And they even said, if we see this, this is what we're going to do. And so they, you know, that's their job, and that's what they did. They exploited a potential weakness in the Texans. They saw it. They exploited it. Bill O'Brien, you know, last week it was clock management and game management. This time, I think he's got to do a better job of finding ways to put Deshaun Watson in comfortable situations as a play caller. And if that means throwing the ball on first down when they're not blitzing you, then do that. But you have to counter what the defense does. It's a chess match. And when the defense shows you one thing, you've got to do something else to put them on their heels. And I never felt like the Texans really had the Titans defense on its heels.
Well, and what's sad about what you're saying too, Lance, is that it's not only that they could only put up 17 points against the Titans. It's the Blaine Gabbert-led Titans without their starting left tackle, without their starting right tackle. I mean, it was so depressing. But even with 40% of the snaps, you said where Watson was under pressure, he still put up 310 yards and almost 45 right. yards rushing and 2 touchdowns. Just think of what this kid could do with the right coaching and a little bit more protection.
Yeah, the protection really concerns me because I don't think it's going to get any better. I mean, there's just and look, the Texans are going to take a lot of blame. Brian Gain, the new GM, may take some blame there, but I don't know what people wanted them to do. You had one left tackle on Nate Solder who was available on the market, and he's an aging left tackle whose production has really, you know, he's really declined as a player. And then the Giants gave him a ton of money. Mm-hmm. And as you could see in the Cowboys game, it really didn't matter yesterday. I wouldn't have done that if I were the Texans. And then you didn't have a first round or a second round or so. They really didn't have a lot to work with to build the offensive line. I kind of figured this would be the case. You have to just get through it, and you hope that you develop Martinez Rankin a little bit, mm-hmm. who was their third-round pick. But next year, there's just no question that your first and second-round picks are going to have to be an offensive tackle and a cornerback. I don't know that Kevin Johnson – I don't know that he'll play for the Texans again, honestly. I mean, that was a severe concussion followed, you know, on the heels of concussions being an issue in the preseason, kept him out of that. So I hope he gets better. I hope he physically can make it back. I don't have a great feel for him as a football player because I haven't really seen him do anything for the Texans yet. So I think when you look at the Texans, they're going to have to really address the offensive tackle position next year, because Chantrell Henderson was always going to be a Band-Aid. Julian Davenport is still a work in progress, so we have to see how, you know, if he gets better. And then I just, you know, you guys know I do NFL draft stuff. I didn't think Martinez Rankin, their left tackle, I didn't think he was a tackle in the NFL. I thought he'd have to move inside, and I still do think that, which will mean that, you know, drafting a tackle could be a very early priority for him. You have to make it a priority with Deshaun Watson as your quarterback. You've got to take care of him.
Absolutely. You give up all of that for your franchise. You have got to protect your franchise. Right. Okay, so penalties yesterday, the Texans, 11 penalties for 88 yards, mostly by the offensive line and special teams. Clipping, false starts, numerous false starts, holding. Is that a coaching issue? What do you attribute that to, Lance?
Well, I think it depends on the penalty you're talking about. Eventually, if it's the same stuff over and over, coaching is going to take the brunt of it because it's kind of a buck stops here mentality. In a single game, I think your offensive line has to do a better job of, you know, not jumping early. Cineo Kelemete, who got the 15-yard, you know, the clipping penalty, he just went low. Like, as a veteran, he's got to know that he can't go low to the back of the legs. That's on him. That's on the player. Mm-hmm. Special teams penalties, I mean, I think a lot of those are based on players when they first happen. If there's a consistent repetition or a consistent issue, especially with 15-yard penalties or lack of discipline, the lack of discipline stuff, always goes back to the coach, mm-hmm. because a coach has to make discipline extremely important. And if you have teams, you know, the Raiders have long been a team who has always, they've always been high in the penalty numbers. But teams who make it a priority not to get penalized and they really focus on that, a lot of times it ends up coming true. I mean, when it's a focus, then you usually have success in that area. And when you give up a fake punt for a touchdown, when you have that many penalty yards, when you, you know, have Jadeveon Clowney not even suited up getting a 15-yard penalty, these are just things that can't happen. And we haven't gotten to the fact that Deshaun Watson was really highly ineffective with the play clock at the end of the game with 1 minute to go. And sure, it was an uphill battle, but he and Bill O'Brien as a unit have got to be better at having a plan to get down the field and doing it with urgency.
That's the great Lance Zierlein. Lance, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks, guys. Good to be back.
All our guests are sponsored by BetDSI.com. Use promo code NATION25 and receive a free $25 wager today. Get all the plays and the inside line at BetDSI.com.
What did you just say? What the hell?
It's time for He Said, She Said on The Boss and the Gloss.
All right, this is one of our favorite parts of the show. It's the famous He Said, She Said segment. We get to hear what sports luminaries had to say this week, and we offer our little commentary on it. And why don't we start at the top with Fitzmagic? Ryan Fitzpatrick, the Harvard grad, no less, who wore an outfit that looks a lot like yours tonight, I might say.
And he
Carla.
Took it to the Super Bowl champs.
Yes, he did. He had a great game. Let's hear Ryan Fitzpatrick coming out in DeSean Jackson's clothing. Let's hear what he had to say.
Hey, DJ. I got like two more because DJ needs his stuff back.
Wait a minute, you mean this?
I borrowed your stuff. Sorry. Yeah, I borrowed your stuff. Sorry, DeSean.
Fine.
What is yours? Is any of that yours or is that?
The chest hair is mine.
So it's funny. Yes, we were listening to what he said, but there was more of a laugh track than anything else. People were going nuts. They loved it.
You know, which you don't typically see at NFL postgame pressers.
Right.
The No Fun League became kind of fun yesterday. And when you're running, I love that Ryan Fitzpatrick, okay, has got the Bucs at 2-0 for the first time since 2001, which you talked about earlier, as the backup quarterback with Jameis Winston serving his suspension for groping a female Uber driver.
Excuse me?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, but you know why I think he's having such a great, well, he's having so much fun, clearly. He was dressed in a Canelo Alvarez lookalike outfit with his chest hairs out and DeSean Jackson's bling. There's no pressure on him. Guess what? He's the backup to, you know, Jameis Winston. I'm sure he went into it thinking, I'm a placeholder. I'm 35 years old. I'm a journeyman in the NFL. Look what no pressure is doing for this guy. Unbelievable.
Well, what I also love is you think about it, he must be the old man on that team.
Yes.
And for him to have some fun after a win, I think sets a great tone. You can almost feel some camaraderie coming out of that locker room, all about Ryan Fitzmagic.
Fitzmagic, for the second consecutive week, threw for over 400 yards and 4 touchdowns. What? Love that.
Cool. I'd wear other people's clothes if I was doing stuff like that, too.
No,
walking
joke.
Around with my chest hair out and big chains. Nothing would stop me.
You mean just like the outfit you've got on right now,
yeah.
Jose?
Jose, I don't want to know what other clothing you might wear when you're really celebrating.
Okay. I thought you were leading to something.
No.
You usually do, that's why.
I usually do. All right, we'll let you tee up the next one, Carla.
Okay, loved this. So, Minnesota Green Bay yesterday, the return of Aaron Rodgers with a, you know, braced up knee against the Kirk Cousins Vikings, ending in a tie. And loved hearing from head coach Mike Zimmer after the game.
Yeah, I told him after the game, a great effing player, and that I hate him. And he says, I love to hate you too. So, but he's amazing. The things he can throw, the things he sees. I still think they should trade him.
I mean,
do you agree with him? He's talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Of course. Yes.
Not his own quarterback.
I think he's right from his perspective. Yeah, I'd love to see Aaron Rodgers shipped out of Green Bay. Those two teams are going to be good down the stretch here. I mean, I think they're both. I mean, any
that's
Aaron
a heady division.
It's a heady division. That's going to be a very interesting division to watch with those two.
And it is going to be interesting to see. I mean, Aaron Rodgers does have some serious injuries. I mean, his knee, he wasn't moving exactly the same, but my gosh, that guy, unbelievable. The Green Bay Packers are not contenders without him, period.
Nope, that's right. All right, let's go to number three. This is John Gruden, who's been in the hot seat for having traded Khalil Mack to the Bears. We've all been talking about it. Gruden was asked again, after yesterday's game, did he have any regrets?
To make me regret the trade. You know, we made the trade. There's going to be hindsight, 50-50, all that stuff. But we would have loved to have him here. You know, I'm not going to keep rehashing this. I would have loved to have coached him, loved to have had him here. But he's not here, and, you know, somebody's got to step up. We got to keep building our football team. That's what we're going to do. And hopefully we see more from Arden Key. Hopefully we see more from P.J. Hall when he gets healthy. And hopefully we prove that in the long term we did the right thing.
Okay, that is a trade. He gave up some of the present for the long term because mm-hmm. now they've got more cap room. Now they have first-round picks, two first-round picks from the Bears
next 2 years.
Trade.
They'll have four in each of the next two drafts. Hey, credit Gruden. It is not easy to coach in Oakland. And they were booed off the field in their opener against the Rams. Literally, the fans booed them off the field. They're moving to Las Vegas. The trade was made for whatever reasons, you know, that you just hashed out, whatever they have in that war room. You cannot look in the rearview mirror. Move forward. Don't go back on it. And he did, you know, he said exactly what he feels about Mack, which is true. He would have loved to have coached him, would have loved to have had him here. You know, the difference is in Chicago, they've got Mitchell Trubisky, on a rookie contract for another couple years. That's not the luxury in Oakland. They have already paid Derek Carr, and to be able to pay Khalil Mack what he deserves and what he could command in this market, that's over 25% of their salary cap. They have 51 other players that they have to pay and a lot of pieces that they need. I understand it. It's not fun to think about football from a business standpoint, but it's a business.
The thing that I thought was kind of funny from this is he says hindsight is 50-50. Yeah. That's not how the expression goes.
Right.
Yeah. Isn't it 20-20?
Yeah, hindsight's 20-20.
Right. See, thinking big. He's already upped it by 30.
He's
like
chucky.
That.
He can do what he wants.
That's right.
All right, let's go to the next one. This is a great play call. This is
awesome.
A fun one. If you have not seen it, I really encourage you to go see it. This was a fake punt return by a player named Keegan Brewer, who was playing for University of North Texas against Arkansas. And this is the play call on a fake punt return by Keegan Brewer.
A little spinner on that. That's a smart play to catch that at the 10-yard line there by Keegan Brewer. So North Texas has come into Fayetteville and shown
he didn't make a
fair catch signal.
He's gone.
Brewer down the sideline. This is going to be a touchdown. He caught that at the 10. Nobody thought he was going to do it, and he took off.
Yeah, I was thinking to myself, I didn't see a fair catch sign, but he kind of stopped. Everybody else stopped.
We all did.
There was no whistle blown, and away you go.
Amazing. See, it was almost a body language fair catch, where with his body language, it looked like he was just catching it and stopping.
With three defenders, Arkansas defenders, right there.
Right there. It was brilliant. It was good acting.
It was great acting because he kind of looked like he started to walk away and then he took off.
Right.
And I mean, he's got wheels.
Yeah.
It was so impressive. And let's not forget, Arkansas is, you know, from a Power 5 conference. I mean, this is big time. And little North Texas up there. Credit them.
I will say that he took a chance because if you're just going to relax your body and stand there as he did, he could have gotten clobbered.
Sure.
I mean, these three guys were coming downstream. Now, of course, they all stopped because they thought it was a fair catch. But if they had not thought so, he would have gone down hard.
I have a feeling the Arkansas coach is going to be blowing whistles into their ears so that they know to listen for a whistle.
Right. And that's the other amazing thing is you could have almost envisioned from watching it that one of the refs would have inadvertently blown the whistle.
Sure.
Because there was just a presumption on the field that a fair catch had taken place.
Yeah, that I watched it five times. It was so great.
It is great. All right. Dwayne Wade, who has been exceptional, a certain Hall of Famer, was teetering on the brink of retirement, considering retirement, yet this week he declared that he will not retire. Let's hear from Dwayne Wade.
I feel it's right to ask you guys to join me for one last dance, for one last season. This is it. I've given this game everything that I have, and I'm happy about that. And I'm going to give it for one last season, everything else I have left. And when I walk away, I'm still going to love it. I'm still going to want to play it. I'm still going to miss the playoff moments. I'm still going to miss the crowd cheering my name. I'm still going to miss 20,000 booing for me. I said booing for me because that's what they're doing. But I ask y'all, let's enjoy it. Let's have some joy through this last season. Let's push this young team over the hump, and let's write our own story to the end of this career together, together. Season 1-6, internally we call it Sweet 16. It's coming to an arena real soon.
Very eloquent.
Class personified.
Sort of moving. He's excited to give it one last season, and he knows it's the last season. I mean, he was at the top of the heap. He's no longer elite, but he still has something to contribute to that Miami Heat team, particularly with some young players. I mean, Justice Winslow out of Houston here is on that team, and he presumably would look up to a Dwayne Wade.
Absolutely. And Dwayne Wade, you know, went back to Chicago. He tried out Cleveland. I love that he's ending it in Miami, and I love that he's bringing the rest of us in and saying, will you all join me for one last dance? That's very cool. Sweet 16. We'll be rooting for him.
There he is.
Not too hard because we are in Houston, so we got to have our loyalties where we need to. But
fair enough. Okay, this one's a little awkward. This is the last of the he said, she said.
I don't want to say that you discovered this. Take credit where you should.
Well, because I was watching the Oprah Network, and I always do, 24/7. This is a show on the Oprah Network called Fix My Life, and a Detroit Pistons basketball player, Jason Maxiel, whom I don't really know very well, was on there with his wife, and the interviewer was asking the wife and Jason about their relationship and the challenges. I mean, this wife is dating an NBA player who's on the road all the time, and it came out that he had not been faithful, and then there was a whole discussion over how many women he had been with. And so let's hear what unfolded on a show called Fix My Life of the Oprah Network.
So how many women have you slept with in your life?
341.
341 women you have slept with in your life. Explain to me how you do that 341 times. Talk to me.
At the time, it was easy to do, to be pleasured that way. And I don't know if I was looking for something else in it or trying to receive something else through it, but I did do it.
What do you get out of the sexual interactions?
Not all. I guess maybe 2 or 3 hours of just being away.
Away from what?
I don't know.
Okay, my first reaction is 341? He's no Wilt Chamberlain, so he's not had a big number at all.
Yeah, no, he is no Wilt Chamberlain, but he's working towards it. But now he's with, you know, Ice Cube's Big Three League.
Yes, he's a former Piston, yes.
He's trying to make it the Big 3-4-1 League. But here's, if you watch, I watched further into that, you know, steamy subject that you brought up, you know, steamy video for this thing. And his wife learned these numbers on the show. She thought he had only slept with 8 women. And that was all okay.
Okay to cheat on your wife 8 times. It's just when you reach 341, it becomes a problem.
Well, I wasn't there for the 341 part. That conversation where the wife was, it was over 50. When she heard that, she left the set.
Okay.
So she might have missed 341. Let me tell you, if she left the set at 50, Jason may not be living right now at 341.
Ouch.
But were you surprised that at 8 she was okay with that? Would you be okay if your bride said, 8 during our marriage?
No, I mean, I always drew the limit at 6. I mean, I just felt like 6 was enough.
That's an odd number.
Maybe
well,
it is.
It's an even number, but it's an odd number to choose.
It's an
to
oddly
on.
Even number. Yeah, like where did that come number. From? Yeah, explain.
I mean, a guy has to draw the line somewhere, right? Maybe not. Everyone's just looking at me.
I'm a big fan of your bride, so I can't make a comment. Well, I'll just slash your tires when we leave. No big deal.
Very, very strange show. I don't normally watch the show Fix My Life, but the interviewer, I don't know that she really helped fix anybody's life there. She outed a big crisis, and she got the number publicized. And none of this was good. There was no grand outcome here.
No, the interviewer, she was something else. Now it's going to have to be called Fix Me a Wife, because he just lost his.
No doubt he did. Yeah. All right. That's the He Said, She Said segment. We ended on a great note,
well,
I guess.
You found a juicy one, I have to say.
When we come back, we will wrap up the show. We will get to learn, well, it will reflect on what we've learned from Carla during the course of this show.
I think we've learned a lot from you just
evidently,
in this last
yes.
segment. Don't you think, Jose?
The Boss and the Gloss, SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Okay, Jose, I know that you will agree with me that during the course of these 2 hours, we always learn a great deal from Carla.
We certainly do.
One thing tonight I think that was quite clear is that she looks better in DeSean Jackson's clothes than Ryan Fitzpatrick does. Does she not?
Yeah, that's an easy one.
That's a stout bar, thank you.
There's no chest hair popping out like there was with Fitzmagic. I mean, she looks great.
No facial hair. Praise the Lord.
If you ever need more clothes, go back to DeSean.
Okay.
All right, secondly, we learned that, from Jason Maxiel and the show Fix My Life, that there is a limit that a woman can tolerate on how many times her husband cheats on her, right? I mean, we learned that Jason's wife, over 50, was too much, right?
She was good with 8.
She was good with 8. So we know that there's a number.
Crazy 8. Can't go over that.
Don't go over number 8. All you men out there, you just heard it from the gloss. She's saying, don't cheat more than 8 times.
No, more than 8? It ain't great.
Stay
inside of 8. There you go.
All right. Next big revelation. You think on a punt play, it's a good idea to cover the gunner. If you were coaching a team in the NFL, you would want that guy to be covered so he wouldn't catch a pass for a touchdown.
I'll be darned. Where'd you get that from?
I don't know. It just seemed like a thing to say. I learned that tonight.
Yes.
You agree?
I agree.
Okay. Lastly, at the halftime of this show, I walked out. I did my own Vontae Davis. I said, enough.
Pull a VD on
it. Is enough. I'm out. I pulled a VD and I walked out. That's what you said. I didn't pull a VD, but I felt a halftime need to leave. And you were fine. Jose said, I'll step in. I'll be the boss.
Yeah, I was the boss for a second.
Yeah, it was good.
I gave us raises, Carla.
Thank you, Jose. I'm keeping you around.
So all of a sudden, it's a high-priced show. I thought we were getting by with a bargain hour here. All right, be sure to tune in next. We have the gold standard, Alex Gold.